It upsets their senses or something. But minds can get through.
Elves? Everyone knows elves don't exist anymore. Not proper elves. I mean, there's a few folk who say they're elves.
Oh, yes. Elvish ancestry. Elves and humans breed, all right. As if that's anything to be proud of. But you just get a race of skinny types with pointy ears and a tendency to giggle and burn easily in sunshine. I ain't talking about them. There's no harm in them. I'm talking about real wild elves. What we ain't seen here for...
The road from the bridge to the town curved between high banks, with the forest crowding in on either side, and in places even meeting overhead. Thick ferns, already curling like green breakers, lined the clay banks. They rustled. The unicorn leapt onto the road. Thousands of universes twisting together like a rope being plaited from threads. There's bound to be leakages, a sort of mental equivalent of the channel breakthrough on a cheap hi-fi that gets you the news in Swedish during quiet bits in the music. Especially if you spent your life using your mind as a receiver. Picking up the thoughts of another human being is very hard, because no two minds are on the same wavelength. But somewhere out there, at the point where the parallel universes tangle, are a million minds just like yours, for a very obvious reason. Granny Weatherwax smiled. Millie Chillum and the King and one or two hangers-on were clustered around the door to Magrat's room when Nanny Og arrived.
"What's happening?"
I know she's in there,"
said Verence, holding his crown in his hands in the famous "Ay, senor, Mexican bandits have raided our village" position.
"Millie heard her shout, 'Go away,' and I think she threw something at the door."
Nanny Og nodded sagely.
"Wedding nerves," she said, "bound to happen."
"But we're all going to attend the entertainment," said Verence. "She really ought to attend the entertainment."
"Well, I don't know," said Nanny. "Seeing our Jason and the rest of them prancing about in straw wigs, I mean, they mean well, but it's not something a fairly young girl has to see on the night before her nuptials."
"You asked her to unlock the door?"
"I did better than that," said Verence. "I instructed her to." "That was right, wasn't it? Even if Magrat won't obey me, I'm a poor lookout as a king."
"Ah," said Nanny, after a moment's slow consideration. "You've not entirely spent a lot of time in female company, have you? In a generalised sort of way."
"Well, I..."
The crown spun in Verence's nervous fingers. Not only had the bandits invaded the village, but the Magnificent Seven had decided to go bowling instead.
"Tell you what," said Nanny, patting him on the back. "You go and preside over the entertainment and hobnob with the other knobs. I'll see to Magrat, don't you worry. I've been a bride 3 times, and that's only the official score."
"Yes, but she should..."
"I think if we go easy on the shoulds," said Nanny, "we might all make it to the wedding. Now, off you all go."
"Someone ought to stay here," said Verence. "Sean will be on guard, but..."
"No one's going to invade, are they?" said Nanny. "Let me sort this out."
"Well, if you're sure..."
"Go on."
Nanny Og waited until she heard them go down the main staircase. After a while, a rattle of coaches and a general shouting suggested that the wedding party was leaving, minus the bride-to-be. She counted to 100 under her breath. Then...
"Magrat? Go away!"
"I know how it is," said Nanny. "I was a bit worried on the night before my wedding."
She refrained from adding, because there was a reasonable chance Jason would turn up as an extra guest.
"I am not worried. I am angry."
"Why?"
"You know."
Nanny took off her hat and scratched her head.
"You got me there," she said. "And he knew. I know he knew, and I know who told him,"
said the muffled voice behind the door.
"It was all arranged. You must all have been laughing."
Nanny frowned at the impassive woodwork.
"Nope," she said. "Still all at sea, this end. Well, I'm not saying any more."
"Everyone's gone to the entertainment," said Nanny Og.
No reply.
"And later, they'll be back."
A further absence of dialogue.
"Then there'll be carousing and jugglers and fellas that put weasels down the trousers," said Nanny.
Silence.
"And then it'll be tomorrow. And then what you're going to do?"
Silence.